And it is that time of the week. Time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our man, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. TD, good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, man. How you guys doing?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, we got a lot to get to with you here today on the show. We'll get to the Super Bowl and your thoughts on that. Let's start on the hiring of Tim Kelly as offensive coordinator. What did you make of that move by the Titans? What did you make of the timing of the announcement of Tim Kelly being named OC?
Yeah, no, I think it was a good move. I think it was one where they had continuity in mind, obviously. And the timing is really interesting because, I mean, at the end of the day, they needed to get something done before the combine started. So one of the things that I thought was good about this move is you got a guy who already knows the personnel, right? So you don't have to go through that onboarding process with a new coordinator. So I think that's a positive thing from a timing perspective. And, hey, man, I look at it this way, right? I always look at things with a glass half full, you know? So what I'll say is this. A wise man always learns from the mistakes of others. So I think, him having been in the building, I think that's a good thing. And he can look at some of the things that they did incorrectly and look at how to improve upon this.
Yeah, so TD, I heard you talking with Jared, you know, the idea of, of course, Vrabel has said a few times, talking to numerous people, things like that. And we don't know about many actual interviews. But I still kind of view this situation as, the Titans at least having some legitimate interest in, like, the Kansas City guys, at least. And I do wonder if the timing maybe suggests that, there was word back that there was no interest the other way. I don't know. Do you feel like there was, again, not that they talked to a bunch of people, but that there was legitimate interest to possibly go outside, or do you think it was just going to be Kelly all along?
I thought it was going to be Kelly all along, and I agree with Stillman early in the process when he said that it would be ideal to promote Kelly as the OC and then bring Charles London in as a pass game coordinator. So I think that's really something that from the jump was the objective, and they went ahead and they did it. And you got your collaboration, right? Because you got the pass game coordinator, you got a pass game analyst, you got a run game analyst, and then you have multiple position coaches. So it's definitely collaboration on offense.
TD, what do you make of, and we've talked with you about this before, you asked Vrabel about it a few weeks ago, the analytics, the Titans, that conversation. Obviously they made a hire the other day that we talked about with Brinker coming in from the Packers. What does that move signal to you, along with the hiring of Rand Carthon, about what things could look like as they move forward?
Yeah, well, it's funny because, you mentioned analytics, and one of the things that the old curmudgeon type of football people like myself and Mike Vrabel and various others, that they'll say, well, analytics, that's something that has been used in the past. They just call it a tendency. So I think when you look at all of that, as far as formulas and algorithms being placed on football, it's not something that classic football coaches like to use, but it does give you some type of supplement. And I think Rand Carthon, he explained how Elijah Mitchell, the formulas and everything, that gave him a belief that he was the best outside zone runner. And here it is, the guy rushed for 900 yards as a rookie, sixth-round pick. So I think you're going to see more analytics just mixed into the program. And, when Albert Breer, when he said that, it's more along the lines of hiring Chad Brinker, that was more along the lines of having, a Cleveland Browns type of model, I think it was included analytics. So I feel as though you're going to see more and more of it. And it's really good when you can balance it against the other. I think that's the key thing. We get so caught up into, pitting them against each other. But when you can balance it and use it as a supplement to each other, then that's a positive.
So one of the things, of course, with Kelly in the presser that we had with Vrabel, it was a nice little throwback Zoom presser. Got some Terry McCormick technical difficulties. It was fun, good times. But one of the things, you know, of course, was his comment about Ryan Tannehill and basically, you know, he's excited about it. He's been in the building every day, but he also said, "Hey, we're still evaluating the roster." I mean, look, I've been you know, pretty confident that Tannehill is the quarterback next year, but I guess I felt a little stronger about that after that. What about you? I mean, at this point, well, shoot, I asked Kaharski this week a percentage number. Right now, your percentage chance that Ryan Tannehill starts week one for the Titans next year?
Yeah, I'd say 85 to 90%. And really, when you look at it, it's like, okay, well, what are you going to do that's better? That's the key thing to look at. What is going to be better than Tannehill? And, I mean, obviously Aaron Rodgers is something that you would look at, possibly, you know, moving up to get one of these draft guys. But that is something that you don't know for sure is going to be productive. At least with Tannehill, you know what you get. You're going to get low interceptions. You're going to get low, low percentage intercepted passes, those type of things. So I think, you know, you bring Tannehill in, he's a guy that will help the offense. He's not someone that will drive it. But, you know, a consistent 300-yard passer, two touchdowns, that's all they need.
All right, TD, last thing for you here. We've got the Super Bowl coming up this weekend. Philadelphia has been a machine in the playoffs thus far. And then there's Patrick Mahomes, who has won his second MVP on the other side. What do you think of this matchup? How do you see this one going on Sunday in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, man, you know, fly Eagles fly. I think the Eagles are going to win it. I look at that front, man. You know, Brandon Graham, he's hell coming after the passer. Then you got two really high-level interior guys, Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave. So you got them. And then on the flip side, you got Josh Sweat, you know, bringing all that speed off there. And if you want to blitz, they could do that. You know, Rodney Cloud is a solid – well, he's in Indianapolis. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, he's a guy that they could blitz off the edge. And I think when you look at, you know, some of the guys that they have there, they could do some things, you know, as far as attacking the quarterback. Hassan Reddick, how can you not mention him? So, yeah, man, I'm going with the Eagles. I think that defense, that front seven specifically, is the difference maker.
Daron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. TD, great stuff. Thanks for being with us. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Daron Davenport with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Going with Philadelphia. Everybody's going Philly. Charles is the only person I've seen with us that has picked Kansas City in this game.
That's right. I meant to look that up at on the staff picks. Maybe they haven't come out yet. They should come out today, right?
You would think.
There's got to be some other people picking Kansas City.
I'm sure there are. I just haven't seen.
You're right. It has been pretty. It's been pretty overwhelming. From what I've seen too.
Yep. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, the Super Bowl, everything on the table on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Speaking of that, I got a 4-pack of wristbands to the 50th annual National Wild Turkey Federation Convention at Opryland coming up next Wednesday through Friday. Be caller number 561-5737-1025 for your chance to win the 4-pack of wristbands to the 50th annual National Wild Turkey Federation. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Join 1025-1063 The Game tomorrow at 3rd and Home, located at 919 3rd Avenue North in Germantown, for a Preds watch party as the Preds take on the Philadelphia Flyers at 11:30. Come watch the game, get some Preds swag, and also enter for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Preds taking on Philadelphia tomorrow at 11:30. Looking forward to that. Thanks to TD for joining us in the last segment. Joe, it is time for another edition of Love Week here on the program. Love Week brought to you by Moments Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. You have a chance to win a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Day Salon and Day Spa and be qualified for a chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card as well. Yesterday on the text line, we did your favorite thing about your significant other. Taking a different approach today. your least favorite thing about your significant other? 615-737-1025 on our text line. Make sure you text it in. Don't call. Text it in. 615-737-1025. Your least thing. Your least
I'm
favorite
so
thing
excited
about, your significant
about this
other.
One.
I mean, I already know your answer. Ryan from Chicago likes crappy teams. He makes me watch them, right?
Actually, my new worst thing is yesterday when I said, oh, let me see if there's any good college basketball games on tonight. And he looked me straight in the eye and was like, yeah, regular season college basketball kind of sucks. Mm. And I was like, you didn't listen to the Rex Rant today.
Man, that hurts Ryan from Chicago.
That hurt bad.
Oh gosh.
What are your guys' worst? What would your significant other say about you?
Well, yeah, I could say that. I'm not saying my stuff about Katie.
No.
I have nothing to say. I have no answer. Yeah, that's the winning answer here is I have nothing.
No, I meant what would Katie say about you?
Well, how much time do you have?
Not very much, actually.
Yeah. I'll come up with a top 50.
Yes. Looking forward to that. Michelle Knezvik, the judge on the text line. So this one should be fun. Yesterday was fun. This one will be fun, too.
Keep it clean, folks.
Looking forward to it. 615-737-1025. Thanks to TD for joining us in the last segment. Had a texter that said, did anybody else notice TD was having difficulty coming up with things that Tannehill was good at? He put his percentage chance at 85 to 90%. I mean, it's looking pretty likely that Ryan Tannehill is going to be the quarterback next year.
That may have been because TD was at a loading dock with trucks. He was trying to dodge trucks or I don't know what was going on there. But Tannehill is pretty good. He's a good quarterback. He does things well. He doesn't do things as well as the best quarterbacks in the league, but there are some absolute. And I see it, I think, especially with Titans Twitter. I don't know what happens on Titans Facebook, but like some, like, get Malik in there. Tannehill is trash or whatever. Or any quarterback you could name would be better than Tannehill, which is just kind of mind-blowing to me. If you're like a long-term Titans fan, having watched this franchise over the years and the quarterback play of a bunch of different people. This is the best quarterback play you've had since Steve McNair.
Agreed. I mean, the scenario that I'm leaving open, I mean, I guess I'll leave a very small percentage chance that Rodgers could work out for the Titans. But the scenario that I'm really leaving open is do you put together a package and go get your quarterback this year? I don't know. I mean, I think it could be a possibility for the Titans. I'm not saying that they'll do it. And depending on where you would do that, does he start for you? Like, is Tannehill still the starter and the guy that you drafted to be the backup? Now, if you went up and got Bryce Young, I have a hard time thinking that Ryan Tannehill would be the starting quarterback week one next year. Like, if you went up all the way.
Well, I mean, I guess, but again, the Chiefs, and I know it was 10, so it's not the same as going to 1, but it's still basically you're drafting your quarterback of the future. They had a year of Alex Smith. They allowed Patrick Mahomes to have that year and wow everybody in practice with his, you know, his 80-yard bombs, and then it was perfect. Worked out perfectly. So, I don't know. I mean, Tannehill would probably prefer to be able to, like, go elsewhere and see if he can get a multi-year situation for himself somewhere else. Yep. But I could make the case to, you know, to have Tannehill. Now, if you did do that and you did move on, well, one, you're putting that rookie in harm's way. How's your offensive line looking? How are your receivers looking? And so there is a confidence thing that you worry about, but you also, that's a fank.
Yeah.
Right? That's a little bit of a fank. And now you could still be in position to have a good team in 24 and a high pick in 24.
The quarterback class is interesting to me. I think most people would agree that it's better than the one from a year ago. I also don't think it's a top quarterback class, at least that we think, by any stretch of the imagination. Like, it feels like to me if Bryce Young was like 3 inches taller and a little bit heavier, that there would be no concerns about Bryce Young. I mean, you know, Jordan Schultz was on from The Score with Jared yesterday, and that's basically what he said. It was like, you know, if Bryce Young was a little bigger, I think he'd be the consensus number one overall pick and nobody would even question it. He's not. His size is what he is. And there are people asking, like, is Young the safer bet? Is it C.J. Stroud? You know, Jordan Schultz started talking about Anthony Richardson yesterday. And look, I get the physical tools. I really do. I mean, that guy just seems like he's so far away from being ready to start an NFL game. Like, how do you take that in the first first round. I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe somebody ends up taking Anthony Richardson in the first round. Like, I don't think he's just a year away. I think he might be a couple years away from being able to start.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, he's certainly not he's not nearly as far along as I'd say the consensus top three guys. I totally get people being enamored with what he could be. I won't be surprised if Anthony Richardson goes somewhere in the first round, lower, but somewhere. I'm also interested in Hendon Hooker, how people view him, where he goes. You know, I've heard some people say that with the Titans. The Titans would probably be able to at 11. They could take a Richardson. They could take a Hooker. I assume Young, Stroud, Levis will all be gone, I think. Yeah, Michelle's can't wait. Saturday, Levis with the Colts. What a combination that'll be. But, you know, who knows? I mean, the Titans could decide that some of these other people out of the top three are this is the guy. You know, that's most of the percentage, non-Tannehill percentage for me.
I am interested to see where Hooker goes. I mean, he's coming off the injury. He's talked about how, you know, he may be running around and throwing here in a few months. You know, how much does the injury affect him? Like, let's say the injury never happened with Hendon Hooker. What do you think the view of him would be in terms of where he'd go in the draft? And now that he has had the injury, how much do you think that impacts what he is as they move forward?
I think it's a big impact just because the combine, I think, would have been really important for him physically. Because, look, the Art Briles offense just has not produced. It's a very unique offense. And, you know, you think about, like, Bryce Petty. I know RG3 had a great rookie year and he got hurt, but for the most part, like, there hasn't been a lot out of that offense that's translated to the NFL. I don't think that means the system won't produce that. I think in the years to come, I think Tennessee is going to have other guys who are viable NFL quarterbacks. But at the combine, you can see Hooker do some things that, like, he just didn't do much in that offense. And even seriously, just like throwing the ball in the drills and stuff like that, I think that could have helped him a lot. I'm going to stick with, I don't know where he's going to go. I mean, I think probably second or third round, but I'm going to stick with Hendon Hooker. As my comparison is Kirk Cousins, and we'll see. You know, I think he could end up being a really nice pick for somebody. Just accuracy, poise, intelligence, and, you know, not the huge arm, just like Cousins. These other guys at the top of the draft, they're going to blow you away with their arms. Hendon Hooker won't. Joe Milton, same thing. But you know what? Accuracy and quick decisions and quick processing and then the leadership, too. That's another huge thing to me that compares him to Cousins. I think he could end up being a steal.
Well, I would say it's pretty likely wherever he goes, he's probably not starting next year, would be my guess, at least to start with. So, you know, if you're the Titans, if you're another team, if you feel like he could be your starter moving forward, do you jump up? If you're in the second round, do you take that risk on a guy coming off the ACL? I don't know. He's really fascinating to me. I thought he was probably a second round guy anyway, just based on some of the things you just mentioned there. Now with the injury, I'm interested to see what happens there. I do think, though, if he gets healthy and he's got his mobility back, which he should, recovering from the ACL, like I think he can be a quality NFL starter. Do I think he can be an elite quarterback? I don't think so. Like, I'd be surprised if that were the case.
So that's kind of like Cousins, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think he could be a quality NFL starter. He really intrigues me heading in the draft. I mean, look, I'm intrigued by all the Tennessee guys. Like, where's Hyatt going to go? Where's Tillman going to go? All those things. Nobody intrigues me maybe in the whole draft more than Hendon Hooker and exactly where he's going to end up.
No, it's fascinating. And it's important for Josh Heupel, too. Just, it's important to, because I promise you, first of all coaches negative recruit, and they all say, hey, you know what, that's a fun offense, but look at the things they do. You can't do those wide splits in the NFL. Like, a lot of the stuff they do, it doesn't even translate, you know. Come with us. I mean, that's what Kentucky, the week playing Tennessee, you know, real football, as Levis said, right? I mean, players talk about it, coaches talk about it. Heupel needs Hendon Hooker, and then future quarterbacks. I think he's got one maybe start next year who might be interesting a year from now to go, you know, do big things in the NFL and blow that up, because the Bryles system going way back just has not produced NFL quarterbacks.
Michelle, do we have a Love Week winner? For the least favorite thing about significant other?
Yes, we do. It's Nick from Nashville, and his least favorite thing about his partner. He said, easy. She squeezes the toothpaste like an ape instead of rolling it from the bottom. I feel like the toothpaste one is a very good one.
It's good.
Because there's nothing worse than it just all over the place, and you have to clean it, and yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it is. That's an obscure one.
I like it.
I like that. I saw some snoring on there.
Oh, yeah. Lots of good ones.
Snoring, calling back. Some good ones on there.
Yeah. There you go. Well, congratulations. Love Week brought to you by Moments Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. A $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs, and is now qualified to win for a chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card as well. Coming up next, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em, the final edition of the season.
This is Pigskin Pick'em.
And let me tell you, the standings are tight. We'll get to that coming up next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
I do have a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook because, folks, as we've been talking about all week, it is Super Bowl 57, and you should get in on that for sure. And, of course, if you are getting on that, you probably have a system. You pick great upsets. You're looking through injury reports. You're doing whatever you can to gather information. Another thing that you should include in your system is the responsible gaming tools that are available on FanDuel Sportsbook. These help keep your play in check, keep you under control a little bit. Tools like time limits, so you don't unknowingly spend more time on the app than you intended. Wager limits to help prevent you from betting more than you should. And you can even take a timeout, which pauses your account for as long as you may need to pause it. FanDuel wants every bettor's experience to be about fun and entertainment, so visit FanDuel.com/playwell and make responsible gaming tools a part of your system. And, of course, to bet on FanDuel Sportsbook, you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. And if you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rexroad on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is time for the final edition of the season of Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rexroad. A quick standings update in the competition before we begin. Joe Rexroad with the best week the last time we did this. We obviously did not do this last week. We did not take part in the Pro Bowl games as a part of our Pigskin Pick'em. So conference championship weekend was the last time we did this. Joe went 4-2 with his lock. Probably the best week of the season for Joe Rex.
Boom.
Last time out.
It's like getting an entire hat trick of empty netters.
Kind
of
is.
Or something like that.
Way to go, Joe.
Completely worthless.
Michelle and I were both 2-4 with no lock the last time out. So
wow.
With that in mind, the standings are as follows. Michelle Knezovic remains in first place, 64-62 overall, 11-10 on her locks. Good for 75 points. I'm in second place, 66-60 overall, 8-13 on my locks, 74 points. So 1 point behind Michelle. And Joe Rexroad, after his impressive week, moves up to 49-77 overall, 7-14 on his locks. Good for 56 points. Way to go, Joe.
Yay.
Closing the gap.
This is, remind me, what are the stakes here?
I don't think we have it
for you too. Do we set them now? I mean, it's
well,
a one
I still
point
am owed game. A car wash, I think, from last
that's
year.
That's Phil, you're part of it.
Yeah, that's me, right? But someone else owes a car wash, don't they?
Oh, actually, maybe I owe you,
both
one.
Owe
then
each other
weekend
a
winners.
Car wash, yeah.
So we canceled it out.
All right, that's fine. That's fine. Okay, but the stakes between you two, dinner,
sure, dinner.
Okay, all right,
that's what we'll
dinner
do.
Dinner on the loser, and I guess I could. Show
you can
up
join
and,
too.
I'll buy the appetizers. I don't know,
or the drinks.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, with that in mind, let's get rolling. We've talked about the Super Bowl matchup all week. Let's just begin with the simplest part of the bet in terms of the non-props. Chiefs and Eagles. Eagles are favored by 1.5 in this game. Michelle Knezovic, we begin with you. Eagles, favored by 1.5.
Okay, I'm jumping on the bandwagon because I've been saying Eagles for a while now, too. I know they have Patrick Mahomes on the other side, but I think this Eagles team is just more complete from top to bottom. So I'm going to take the Eagles minus the 1 or 1.5.
I'm going with the Chiefs plus the 1.5. Eagles win by 1. Final score will be 31-30.
Ooh.
Okay. Man.
31-30, the final score.
I hope you're right. That'd be an awesome game. Yeah, I'll stick with what I've been saying all week. I think the more complete team beats the better quarterback. I think up front is where the Eagles are so good, both sides of the ball. We saw what the Bucs did to the Chiefs. I know the Chiefs are certainly better up front offensively than they were in that game, but that was the difference. I think it'll be the difference again.
So going with all of us going with Philadelphia to win, Joe and Michelle taking the Eagles minus the 1.5. We move to the Eagles and the Chiefs over under a 50.5. I'll start with this one. I just said it. I said 31-30, so I'm going over. I will go over in the matchup. It makes me nervous because I do think Philadelphia's defense, especially their front, is good enough where if they start to get after Mahomes and he can't move around very well, maybe this doesn't go overly well for the Chiefs, but I think they'll make enough plays. I'll go with the over in this matchup. Joe Rexrode, the over, 50.5 in this game.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I don't think it's going to be quite where you've got it, but I think I will go over as well, just over. Something like 27-24 kind of game.
Slightly over for Joe Rexrode. Michelle Knezovic, the Chiefs and the Eagles, over under 50.5, your selection.
I agree with you guys. I think that each team scores a little bit more than 25 points, so I do think they're going to hit the over. I'm going to make it my lock, though.
Locking down on the over-under. I like it.
All right. You guys have got to have some different picks.
I know.
Wait.
I took the Chiefs plus 1.5.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We're good.
Sorry. That's right. You said Eagles, but you're
correct.
Ignore me. This is why I'm in third place by far.
All right. Who scores the first touchdown of the game? Is it Kansas City or is it Philadelphia? Joe Rexrode, you're up first. Who scores the first touchdown of the game?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Eagles. I think the Eagles, I envision a game in which the Eagles really look dominant, build a lead, and then the Chiefs make a desperate comeback.
So going with Philadelphia with the first touchdown. Michelle Knezovic, who scores the first touchdown of the game? Is it Kansas City? Is it Philadelphia?
I'm going to go with Kansas City, and I'll make it a little bit more specific. I think it's Travis Kelce.
So going with Kansas City, and specifically with Travis Kelce. I'm going to go with Philadelphia scoring the first touchdown of the game. I think they'll get the ball first, and I think they'll score first. I also think they'll make a stop on Kansas City's first possession, but we didn't ask that question. I'm going Philadelphia with the first touchdown of the game.
Should have made the coin flip part of the picks and pick.
Maybe so. And then you know what? Let's take it a step further. I'm locking down on Philadelphia to score the first touchdown of the game. So make that my lock. All right, more receiving yards. A.J. Brown or Travis Kelce? A.J. Brown or Travis Kelce? Michelle Knezovic, we begin with you.
This one's a tough one for me because we haven't seen much from A.J. in this postseason. But then again, they haven't been in close games whatsoever. So I do think that he's going to need to be a significant factor. So I am going to give the slight edge to A.J. Brown, but it's going to definitely be a close one.
So going with A.J. Brown in this matchup. The over-under numbers are pretty close. Like I think A.J.'s over-under is like 73.5 or something, and Travis Kelce's is like 77.5. So it's pretty close. I'm going to go with Kelce just because I think he'll have more receptions. I think the volume will be more. So I will go with Kelce with more receptions than A.J. Brown. So Michelle going with A.J., I'm going with Travis Kelce, Joe Rexrode, A.J. Brown, or Travis Kelce with more receptions in this game.
Oh, so it's not yards. I think you said
yards. Yeah, excuse me, receiving yards, sorry.
Yeah, okay. Well, then I'm A.J. Brown and make it my lock.
Going A.J. Brown.
Because Kelce will
He's going to be doubled, tripled.
Well, Kelce, but he'll get a lot of catches, targets for sure, but I got a big one from A.J. in this game, and I think that'll make the difference.
Yes, receiving yards, my mistake. A.J. Brown. So y'all both going with A.J., I'm going with Travis Kelce in this matchup. All right. Who is winning at halftime? Will it be Kansas City or will it be Philadelphia? I'll go first. I'm going Kansas City. I'm going Kansas City up slightly at halftime. Jalen Hurts will have to do something in the second half. He's not had to do a ton this year, and that's play from behind. But I think he'll have to do it heading into the second half in this game. So I'll go with Kansas City. Joe Rexrode, who's winning at halftime? Is it Kansas City? is it Philadelphia?
Yeah, I'll stick with my vision of the game, which is the Eagles leading throughout. So I'll go with Philly.
Michelle, Kansas City or Philly, who's winning at halftime of the Super Bowl?
I'm really loving this because, Robbie, I think we are opposite on everything. I'm going to go Eagles leading at halftime as well.
So going with the Eagles leading at halftime. All right, the final question. Will both teams complete their first passing attempt? Will both teams complete their first passing attempt? Yes or no? Joe, you go first. Will both teams complete their first passing attempt?
The Eagles, it'll be like a screen to Miles Sanders.
It's a pass.
That's a pass. Yeah, I'll say yes.
Michelle Knezevic, will both teams complete their first passing attempt?
Yes.
Have to think about that one.
I know. Well, I was thinking, I know probably one will. Okay, both, yes.
I'm going no.
There we go.
I think the Eagles are going to try to go deep on their first play to try to send a message because Sirianni seems like that kind of guy. I think it'll be incomplete. So,
okay.
I'm going no.
Lots of differences between you two. Of course, it could still work out that, you know, you get some right, some wrong, yeah. And we have a
I don't
a
even think we have one the same.
We have one.
Oh, okay.
We have one. Out of the
over
six.
Under?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But it's my lock, so.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. So it's 2 points for you. All right.
What do we do if there's a tie?
I guess I just
then
buy
Joe
dinner.
Has to buy yeah. dinner and drinks.
Yeah. So I'm rooting for someone to definitively win here. Yes.
This has been the final edition of Pigskin Pick'em. We will have an update on the competition coming up on Monday morning. So looking forward to that. Super Bowl 57 coming up on Sunday. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bowl predictions. The Super Bowl on the table. The Predators on the table. Any way you want to take it. 615-737-1025 on our text line. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Super Bowl action this weekend. Preds back in action tomorrow, taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. Everything is on the table. 615-737-1025 on our text line. Joe Rex Road, talking a big game for Call Your Shot Friday last week. How did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
I mean, let's go to the tape. Okay, let me go to my picks. Vanderbilt, this is right after that blowout of Alabama, will beat Ole Miss. Tyron Lawrence will have 15-plus points. The hate watchers won't be happy. A ding, ding, ding,
nailed
ding,
all that.
Ding, 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 ding. Also, this was not a popular opinion at the time, Tim Kelly will be the Titans' offensive coordinator. I mean, it's kind of good.
Is yeah, that was when Nagy was the front runner.
Like, well, we thought so.
We thought so,
right,
at least.
Right. Yeah, Tim Hasselbeck's like, they're hiring Nagy. He didn't totally say that, but yeah, it was close. And then I had one that I said, the Vols will blow at Auburn, you know, after the, you know, they'll go nuts and win by 20
plus. In that game, 3 points was a lot. So, yeah, does that count?
Well, yeah, that's right, yeah. Well, that's the thing. If you would have told me just the Auburn final score, I'd be like, well, I'm getting that one too, 43. I mean, the Vols certainly are going to score 65.
Good gracious.
Yeah, but they did win. So, there you go. Michelle, Jeff Saturday. Coach of the Colts. We're still waiting on that one. And then he will have quarterback Derek Carr with him. I like that one. So we're going to wait on that one. Kentucky won't make the NCAA tournament. We're going to wait on that one, too.
Did I do that?
You did do that. And actually, after this, you look a little better on that. They're right on that cut line. Then you said Vols, Auburn will go into overtime.
Very close.
Zakai Ziegler, buzzer beater to win it. And Bruce Pearl thrown out of the game. He wasn't thrown out of the game, but he did have a lot of complaining, and he had a reason to complain.
Yes, that was a foul at the end.
You're going to get Vol Twitter mad at you again.
I know. They're already mad at Rick Barnes for being classy to the opposing coach after the loss. What was the thing I sent you guys? Like, soft, teach your players to be soft.
Yep.
Robbie, LeBron will break Kareem's record on Tuesday. Ding, 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 ding.
Nailed it.
Well done. You've got Jimmy G will be the next quarterback of the Falcons. So we're going to wait
Keep
on that
one. Keep your eyes peeled.
And then you've got the Vols win the SEC tournament and lose in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Book it, by the way. So we're going to wait on that one, too.
All right, Michelle Knezevic, would you like to kick us off this week with today's edition of Call Your Shot Friday?
I would love to. Okay, I got a future one right now. SEC tournament's about a month away here in Nashville. I have Arkansas winning it. They're just over 500 in the SEC right now, but they were playing very, very well the other night, and I think they're going to shape up, and I think they'll have a good run in the tournament. Okay, Tennessee will beat Missouri this weekend by 10 or more points, but then on Wednesday will lose to Alabama by 15 or more points.
Okay.
A.J. Brown will be the leading receiver in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And Jalen Hurts will be the leading rusher in the Super Bowl.
Ooh, I like that. That's good.
Those are my called shots.
I like it.
I like it, too.
Joe Rexroad, your called shots for the week.
Okay. Well, we'll start with, of course, we'll start with some college hoops.
Basketball.
I have one that opposes Michelle. But Vanderbilt will follow up the big win over Tennessee by winning at Florida, which is one of the tougher games left on the schedule. That is tomorrow. Liam Robbins will get a double-double and, that's a double-double in points and rebounds, and five-plus blocks. Okay. Tennessee will beat Missouri and Alabama and will beat them by a combined 25 points. That may be 20, maybe 23 for Missouri. But I'm just saying a combined 25 points.
Hey, last time you did that, you know what happened.
I do know what happened, yes. I had to mute people. The Preds will lose at Philadelphia tomorrow, and Cole Smith will have the only goal.
So great.
There you go.
That'd be a nice combination of events on Prince Twitter. It'd be good.
I mean, the amount of screaming people are doing about like a $750,000 contract is just
that
incredible.
That is so easily movable or discardable to Milwaukee.
Preds Twitter
just amazing
will be out of control.
Yeah, the Preds just need to come up with more ways to put his name in like an email message title. But my
Cole
last
Smith
one.
Statue coming next to Peck Arena. It'd be good out there on the plaza.
And my last one is A.J. Brown will have a touchdown catch of 75 yards on the first possession of the game Sunday.
Wow, first possession, 75 plus
yards.
Coming
right out to A.J.
I like it. Very nice. All right, my called shots for the week. Ryan McDonough will score a goal tomorrow. Ryan McDonough scores against the Philadelphia Flyers. He's only got one on the season so far. It's a very nice one, but he will score again tomorrow taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. So McDonough finds the back of the net. The Tennessee Volunteers will take down the Alabama Crimson Tide in overtime next week. Overtime matchup. Tennessee wins in overtime. Everything I said about them not being clutch yesterday, Rick Barnes throws directly back into my face. Because that's how things go when I start to talk about college basketball. So
I do love that.
You love that, don't you?
Ball's taken down Bama in OT. Chris Jones, who has been dominant in the playoffs so far for Kansas City. No sacks, no pressures for Chris Jones. Coming up in the Super Bowl. I think they totally shut him down.
Wow.
So looking forward to that. And finally, Marquez Valdes-Scantling will score a 35-plus yard touchdown in the Super Bowl on Sunday. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who, by the way, led everyone in receiving yards on conference championship weekend, because of course he did, 35-plus yard touchdown on Sunday in the Super Bowl.
MVS shot. Gotta MVS. Like that, man. One of your former.
Most people don't even know who he is. But
yeah.
35-plus yard touchdown.
I like it. Those are good.
This has been Call Your Shot Friday, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. A lot of people going for the under on the text line in the game, so maybe not expecting more of an offensive game. I think people think the 31-30 thing that I've thrown out there is ridiculous. We're going to find out.
Well, it's not ridiculous. It's high, but it certainly could happen, right? Philly's got a good defense. Offenses are, yeah, they do. You know, good defenses, but also they both have good offenses.
They do. We'll see what happens. By the way, speaking of the Super Bowl, make sure you joined Jared Stillman live on Stillman & Company from Radio Row, brought to you by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in the Richland Creek Shopping Center. Pay no money down and no interest for 1 year right now during their tax refund sale. Looking forward to that coming up a little bit later. Joe, your final thoughts on the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday, the final football game of the season. As you pointed out earlier, 7 months until meaningful football after this.
Yeah, so just my final thought is, you know, savor it, pick your best apps, get your best dips together, you know, and savor the football. I feel like, and maybe it's just because you can avoid things if you want, but I don't feel like this week we've had, like, overkill on the Kelce brothers or on
no, it's been good.
The Andy Reid stuff, yeah. You know? Yeah, it's been fine. I mean, look, I'm always for – I personally would prefer the – I don't think we need the two-week break, you know?
I kind of like it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Because then you have that middle week where we're watching
– You're watching the Pro Bowl.
Now we're watching flag football or whatever. But, you know. But, yeah, I'm excited for it. I think it's a great matchup. I think we got the right teams. And hopefully we'll get a classic. We've had quite a few good Super Bowls here.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are in my age range, you remember when basically we just wanted something that was worth watching as of midway through the third quarter.
Got a little Rihanna coming up on the halftime show, too. So looking forward to
that. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
I'm hype.
The one good artist halftime is definitely the way to go. Like, I liked last year in L.A. because I love those artists, but the one artist is usually the better halftime. Last year was like Dre and
Last year was Kendrick Lamar, amazing.
And Eminem and everything.
They have to work together. Like, last year was great with the multiple artists. I'm interested to see how it'll be this year.
Yeah, but usually one good artist is good. Like, Prince is probably the best one ever, right?
That's going to do it for us here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. coming up on Monday. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.